Normally, long snappers like to be anonymous, but not today.
Patrick Manley.
My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manley.
Bears long snapper for 16 seasons.
Pat Manley, the long snapper. Maynard put it in position, and Robbie Gould sends the Bears to the NFC Championship game.
The longest tenured player in Chicago Bears history.
Captains the midfield for the coin toss. Patrick Manley breaking an all-time Bears record for games played.
You know, it's great that they have one of the most competent combinations between the snapper, holder, and kicker.
Kraft Beer Mogul.
Long snapper IPA. The can of me long snapping a ball on top of an El Camino.
Patrick Manley.
Give me one of your favorite stories back when you were here with us at the Bears.
Climbing Olin Cruz's car. A car tipped over and crashed and demolished. And
All I had was water that night. It was the weirdest thing.
I never did any of that either.
Pat was at home reading.
For sure. Yes, exactly. I was studying my playbook, the really difficult long snapper playbook.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Pat Manley joins us Bears Mondays throughout the season. He's on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Pat, what the hell, football?
How you were going to start this? I was really wondering how you were going to start. What the hell was that yesterday?
Pat?
Sadness.
I think they still have a collaboration problem.
Yeah.
I think it goes all the way back to that. They might have made the wrong decision. You know, that's kind of what I see. Is that we've talked about it in pregame a bunch that, you know, Matt Nagy's got to change his offense to fit Mitchell Trubisky. Took him forever to do it. They finally had some success last year. This year we get Justin Fields. What are we all saying? What are all the experts saying? Fit the offense to Justin Fields. And what does he do? He gives them the Matt Nagy offense. So this is just an issue to me that it's not about Justin Fields. This is about Matt Nagy being a little too hard-headed and not, you know, changing his offense to fit what Justin Fields can do, and also simplify it a little bit, being his first start as in the NFL.
What do you see that works well for Baker Mayfield when he has a head coach, offensive play caller, and a run game? But they do some things to simplify it, and there's some stuff there that looks very friendly for a mobile quarterback like Baker Mayfield.
Well, that's the other thing we said in the pregame, is that when we were talking about the Cleveland Browns, we were saying this is what Justin Fields was made for, that kind of offense right now. He could run that very, very well. And what I see is they marry plays off each other, and I think a bunch of us have talked about it on the Score that formationally it's going to look like a run, but then they'll boot out of it. There was one play where they came in with 12 personnel. One of the tight ends was a lineman, so this is something the Bears could have done. Max protect, try to throw it deep. Next play, they come in. It's a play action. Next play, they come in with 12 personnel, take the O-lineman out, make the play action. It's not a play action. It's a run. So there's a lot of plays that put the defense in conflict because they don't know exactly what's going to happen. And I just don't see Matt Nagy doing that with his offense. I think he just runs out there formationally, and I don't see things married together that you can anticipate something else off of it, maybe a boot action. You know, I know he kept talking about, well, they took away the outside runs, the boot action. Well, there's stuff you can do. You can put guys in position to take care of that boot side action, you know, maybe leave somebody in, and what happens then is your receivers actually have to win a route. You know, then they got to beat somebody one-on-one and get open, but you're going to have more time to get the throw downfield. Just an example of that was the blitz. The number 28 came in and sacked Justin Fields, and it was just awfully designed. They had Myles Garrett one-on-one with Cole Kmet. They had Justin Peters coming down double-teaming with Cody Whitehair. And then I don't know who was supposed to come off, whether it was Justin Peters or was it supposed to be Montgomery, and their eyes should go back to the blitzing guy, and they don't pick him up. I'm not okay with that, but what I'm upset with, he has Myles Garrett one-on-one with Cole Kmet trying to throw the ball deep. That's some scheme issues that are going on.
Pat, what bothered me the most was I don't think that even the most cynical Matt Nagy observer would have said going into that game, he is going to leave Jason Peters and Jermaine Ifedi on islands against Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett. It just seems too ridiculous. And I honestly thought it was dangerous. I thought he endangered Justin Fields, who is the most valuable commodity in the organization. Were you shocked by that particular approach to protection?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of scat protection, which I just disagree with. with the talent they have up front. There was some scan protection where they're in shotgun and Montgomery has to scan and try to go to the most dangerous guy. But the problem was the O-line played terrible, so all of them were dangerous. So he looked like he was almost confused. Do I go to Myles Garrett? Do I go to Jadeveon Clowney? Do I help out James Daniels? You know, and then they're moving guys all over the place. So I understand the concept of saying, hey, okay, it's scan protection, go to the most dangerous guy. But the way the O-line played yesterday, they were all dangerous. So I don't like that. But then go back to what you said about the two plays coming out of the half. They're running scat protection, running David Montgomery out of the backfield, even five on five or 5-on-4 or whatever they were had at the time. And that's just not smart football.
So what do you do? Like if what would you have done? What would a competent coach have done given the deficiency at tackle against those edge rushers?
So I would say, okay, wide receivers, you've got to win the day. I'm leaving in max protection. I'm bringing in an extra tight end. I'm bringing in an extra tackle as the tight end. We've seen him do it before, but make sure one of the edges is solidified, and then maybe you can slide protect the other way. Things like that, to me, that's kind of just simple O-line, one-on-one stuff that you can help, you can help guys up front to make their job easier for the day. And I just don't see that. And that's just not the way it seems like he likes to run his offense. That's not the way they do it in Kansas City. It's just a lot of, the Andy Reid offense doesn't like to do that. But if you want to help Justin Fields and give him a little bit more time, and he's going to hold the ball, that's what rookie quarterbacks do. I'm making sure that front line is solidified up front and giving them as much help as possible.
Pat, here's what I'm trying to figure out. And I don't, I guess you'd have to talk to people up there, and I don't know if they'd really give the answers. But I'm trying to figure out if Matt Nagy did scheme to do some of the things and then just didn't do him because he got thrown off his game and confused and overwhelmed. Like players sometimes lose themselves in a game.
Sure.
Matt Nagy, the play caller, sure seems like a guy who loses himself in the game. And a little bit of what he said today about we were going to go out there and move the pocket, but they wouldn't allow it. Like it sounds like a guy who got thrown off his game plan immediately. Do you have any sense whether he's a bad game planner or a bad play caller or perhaps a little both?
I think it's a little bit of both, and we've seen it. He has enough history that we've seen both. I mean, that's just what it is, and it's not good. He was brought here, right, because we had a great defense. He's this offensive mastermind. He's going to put points on the board. He's not doing it. And we see it week in and week out. We see it with different quarterbacks as well. He's tried a whole bunch of different quarterbacks, and he can't figure it out. So I think it's a little bit of both.
We know Tariq
Cohen. Which is not good.
No, yeah,
no.
You don't want all of it.
Thank you for translating. We talked about this in transition a little bit, and Pat Manley joining us, Parkinson Spiegel on the score. Pretty obvious. They're getting a ton of pressure. Let the pass rush come through, throw it over them, do a screen pass.
Yep.
I know that it's complicated. Offensive linemen have told me that blocking out a screen game can be a complicated thing, but why are the Bears so bad at it that it doesn't even seem to be in the game plan?
Well, they never run them, right? So you're not getting a whole bunch of practice. I think I wrote it down here. I got it on my iPad here. 3:30 to go in the fourth quarter is the first screen pass to a running back. They ran the one earlier to Cole Kmet, but that was kind of a trick play to me. When you go into a game like this, this is me just going into a game saying, all right, I'm playing the Chicago Bears front. I've got to get my screen game going. I've got to get something in there to allow all that pressure. They're going to come out and just dump it over, like you said. Or a draw play. I think they ran one draw. It didn't work out. I forgot. I think Jason Peters got beat by a DB, unfortunately. But,
it's tough to do.
It wasn't pretty. But, yeah, I think it was just one draw play and one real screen play to Montgomery. And that's ways you can beat pressure. That's stuff that should be talked about on Monday and Tuesday, installed on Wednesday and Thursday. And you're obviously not doing that if you only run one of each the whole game. That should be part of the game plan. Like, okay, that's an blank moment. We can't stop the rush. How do we beat it? We let them run up the field and we drop it over the top of them.
So this stuff that he's not adjusting and doing, why should we think he's going to do it now?
I don't think he is.
I'm hoping that he realizes like the humbling. You know, people have said, "Oh boy, I've never heard him sound more humble than he did yesterday." Today, he's admitting that maybe he'll allow play calling to be taken away from him for the second time.
But we've heard this before, right, Spiegs?
Yeah,
that's the sad thing. We keep hearing it over and over and over. He needs to be punished. It's like your kid; if they keep lying to you, punish him. Like, stop lying to us. Do what you say you're going to do, or at least try it. Like, just don't say take so long to do it. It's very frustrating. And like I said at the beginning of this interview, it goes back to that collaboration they had back in March or whenever. And they said these two guys are the best guys to go forward with. And I think right now it reared its really ugly head yesterday, and let's just hope they can fix the problem. But I don't see him doing it because we've seen the past. They haven't done it.
Yeah, he was thoroughly emboldened by that press conference and then the offseason and then clearly the draft. So he probably mm-hmm. remains emboldened today, is your point. That
I would guess so, but I mean, the higher-ups at Hallis Hall need to have a real sit-down with him and say, hey, what is going on here? Like, really? We brought you in here to score points. You give us one of our worst offensive outputs ever, and this is on you. And then, you know, the players obviously did not play well, but I think he put the players in a poor position to execute. And it's a lot to do about Matt Nagy.
Pat, who do you want to play quarterback against the Lions?
That's a good question, honestly.
Well, it seems like a fairly big
one.
No,
it's a great question. And here, who's calling the plays?
Matt Nagy.
Oh, man. Can we get Mahomes?
I don't think he's available.
Can we do a trade in a week for that? No.
I don't think he's available, and the Bears don't have a first-round pick.
Are you afraid for Justin Fields? Like, we're admitting today that's on the table, you know?
Yeah, it could be. If they go out there and run that same game plan, yes. But I do want Justin Fields to play. I love the way he handled himself after the game. I love the way he handled himself when he was getting beat up. You know, and he also said he's meant for this, but I don't think he was meant for that yesterday. He was meant to play in the pros, but I would say Justin Fields. That would be my answer. I would like just to grow with this guy and see if Matt Nagy can adjust a little bit. And if he can do that, I think you'll see some success. You saw a little bit against the Bengals. Yeah, like I said last week when I talked to you, when you went back and rewatched that tape, it wasn't as bad as it looked the first time you saw it live. There were just some little mistakes that he made, but he was not put in position yesterday to go out there to succeed.
Yeah, and I rewatched the first half this morning, and it looked just as bad.
It did. It looked worse. So yesterday, like a week ago, I thought it looked better. It looked worse today than it did yesterday against the Browns.
So yeah, my current stance on this is the guy who's been adamant that you have to play Fields immediately from Jump Street, and that all experience is good experience, and that he will learn from it. And if you're bad, you're going to be bad no matter when you play. And if you're good, you can get to be good no matter how you play. Is we've got to see at least a few more games of these guys together to see if, okay, they were on the road, they were against arguably the best pair of edge rushers in the NFL. Can Matt Nagy adjust? Would it be easier against weaker opponents? Would it be easier at home? But if he plays the next three or four games and is taking 5 to 6 sacks and double-digit hits every game, then we might have to have the conversation about protecting Justin Fields from Matt Nagy and ride out the season, and Agreed. We hand over Justin Fields to Brian Daboll or whomever next year.
Agreed. That's kind of like going on the 4th-and-1 conversation you were having on Twitter. We'll go back and forth with that one. But no, I agree. I agree with you. If it continues to happen like that, one is safety, and then two is what does it do to his development? But I think next week for sure he's got to run him back out there.
Okay. Yeah, and yeah,
I do.
I know you and I are going to be on opposite sides of the take the points thing.
I find it so entertaining. I was trying to stoke the flames of that thing yesterday.
Oh, it was good. Well, I got to give you – I will say this. The second one, as I sat there, I'm like, you got to go for it because you're not getting back down there. So
thank
the second,
you.
Second, fourth, and one of the game, I was like,
inside the five.
Perkins.
You're inside
Damn
the five,
Perkins.
Right?
I was.
Damn it, Parkins is kind of a default for people. Like, I hate admitting that this guy is right sometimes. Yeah. But, yeah, man. Yeah. You need touchdowns, and you don't get
in that situation. You needed touchdowns.
Yeah, well, and the Bears' offense is so bad, Pat, that when you are in a situation that affords you an opportunity to get a touchdown, it feels like you're gonna. You can't ask the defense to score defensive touchdowns every single game.
No,
you know.
No, but Matt Nagy was brought here to do what?
Score points.
Bingo.
And not run the I formation. As he likes to remind us.
I think he's broken. See, we were arguing about this during transition. I think he knows he's not good at this now. I mean, how can you – you're 4 years and 3 weeks into this, and you've been bad with every quarterback you have. You've been humiliated time and time and time again. He's kicking field goals when he used to be this ballsy, go-for-it, all-the-time kind of guy. I think dude is rattled and realizes he might not be very good at this point.
Well, I mean, the numbers are right in front of him, right? He sees them every day. I'm sure when he gets the weekly stats of where they rank – against all the other teams, they're always towards the bottom. So he reads it every week. Coaches get that. They get the stats where they rank and all that stuff, and they go through all the analytics and see what we can improve on, run stats, pass stats, sacks, all that kind of stuff. He reads it. It's there every day. So I think it's hitting him kind of hard in the head, and maybe he will realize it and try to make a change and let somebody else kind of call the plays on Sunday.
Is there anything – okay, so changing the play caller, we'll see what happens at quarterback. Tevin Jenkins isn't till later in the year. Like, is there anything else you would do? Because, I mean, it honestly looked like Jermaine Ifedi and Jason Peters should both put in retirement papers.
I think,
like,
we should scout fishing trips, see who else is on fishing trips now.
Is there anything else in-house that could be done?
Well, let's go back about the two tackles. You got to remember who they were going against.
Yeah.
Those are two of the best. So the week before, they did okay, right? So we were like, oh, look, Jason Peters had a good game. Well, then he goes and plays against Myles Garrett, one of the best defensive ends, if not the best, and looks like that. So is there anything else you can do? Yeah, just change the scheme and help the offensive line. Run the ball more. You know, just go a little more heavy personnel. You know, maybe go out on the waiver wire. The only thing you can maybe find on the waiver wire right now to help him is a blocking tight end.
He wasn't brought here to run the I formation, Pat. Maybe you remember
Jesse
that.
James, man.
They got five tight ends. They don't know how to use any of them.
Then do this. Did you see the I formation yesterday by the Browns?
Yeah.
Actually,
you did?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
right?
But they ran
They at least ran a little bit from under center. And, like, I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And they used 11 and 12, 11 and 12 personnel and did it.
Yes, they run the outside zone. They ran counter. They ran power.
Yep.
You can do that. You can do that from shotgun if you have to. There's some plays I like under center more, but, you know, there's run plays they could put in to be more efficient. And honestly, we saw it last year in the last four games.
Yeah.
Right? They did.
Not with Matt Nagy, but
that's what I'm saying. So there is somebody on the staff that can actually put together a game plan that somewhat looks like the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I will be floored if that's what happens. I think that they will look better against the Lions at home as a product of it being against the Lions at home. And then Andy Dalton will be healthy for the game that we're in Vegas with against the Raiders.
Oh, God, he's coming back.
It's coming back. That's what I think's happening here.
You got positive vibes today. What'd you do to him, Spiegs?
Is that positive?
No, that's not positive. That's resignation. Yeah. That is cynical resignation. That's what the Bears turn us into. It's sad.
Oh, man. It is sad.
All right. Pat, hit him long and straight today, man.
I will. I'm trying my best.
Oh, you always do. Because you're too damn talented at golf.
See ya. Pat.
That's Pat Manley. God. Top of the hour, by the way, brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Yeah, I think that they will beat the Lions in an ugly game at home, kind of how they beat the Bengals. They will say, we're exactly where we're supposed to be in the record, in the win-loss column, right? Losses to the Rams and Browns, wins over the Bengals and Lions. We're going to Vegas. We didn't put Dalton on IR. He's healthy. Let's go back to what our original plan was.
Sure.
To slow pedal Justin's development.
And he'll be emboldened by that because Justin won't look that great.
And then Dalton can execute Nagy's system.
Okay.
And it will continue to develop this way. That's what I think our immediate future is here. Now, if they lose against the Lions with Fields, it will just get uglier, but then they'll still go back to Dalton. The one that will be tougher is, which would be great for us, is Fields looks great, they win. Can he actually go back to Dalton?
I think there's going to be some people, if they lose to the Lions, and I'm sure there's some people there already, but if they lose to the Lions, there's going to be people rooting for full-on failure, Nagy firing, laser ascension to play caller, offensive coordinator, and Fields to get a simpler look the rest of the way than to try to run Nagy's craziness. You know, people rooting for that kind of thing, or Fields in bubble wrap and just let him wait until the next guy comes in. Don't put him out there in harm's way.
Yeah, I understand that completely. It's a little tougher for me to get behind rooting for losses when you have the franchise quarterback playing and you don't have your first round pick. Because the losses aren't as valuable to you, you know, if you're playing Fields. Now, if you're sitting Fields, and because you're scared of him under Nagy, which I don't think they would ever admit publicly, but if that is what happens, then sure, the season's sunk though, man. That's the reality. They are not competitive, period.
Certainly offensively.
Well, yeah.
There's nothing there.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And they're not good enough offensively to compete with the good teams.
And other than Fields, what's there to be excited about in terms of the future? I mean, in terms of the targets, you know, Montgomery's going to have to be paid soon. Robinson is not really doing that much. Darnell Mooney with the one target yesterday.
In terms of offense, I got nothing for you other than the Fields.
Defense, there's some stuff.
I got a big one that from what I've consumed today, a lot of people haven't been discussing. Is it time already to break out my one positive from yesterday's game? Is it time already?
Just one?
No, in terms of like a big picture thing. I got one positive that I want to run past you. We'll take more Bears Mondays calls. We got Mark Grody coming up at 4. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Olin Kreutz and Anthony here, but Ken is in Elk Grove with some thoughts on what needs to happen here with the Bears. What's happening, Ken?
Oh, Olin, take you, smack every offensive player up there. Tell them how to play damn football. Take Hampton, smack him around on defense. I am so tired of getting participation trophies and juice boxes at the end of the games. That's the only thing they play for. They've lost the team, the fans. They can move to Arlington Heights. I'll go up there and watch them. I'll honk it when I go by on 53. This team needs a change, McCaskey. I'm not a football guy. I can see you can't step in the backyard and tell me, oops, that's just mud. That's all we're watching.
All right, kid.
20,
yep, appreciate
20
you,
tight ends.
Dumb button.
Yeah, those are some radio professionals there on the post show with Olin and Big Ann.
The dumb button was used.
I love that. Bottom of the hour, you brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
Step into the backyard and tell me it's mud.
Yeah.
Go get a amp. Take him up there.
I drive by on 53. Honk. I'm going to honk.
Honk. Dumb button.
That is so good.
Who's training the producers around here, by the way, to let him keep the guy, let him keep talking on the air after he swears?
It's you, isn't it?
No, not really.
Sure?
Not really.
Was part of your world.
Not really.
Point.
So I just throw him into the deep end.
So you just don't train him.
Learn on the job, baby.
Got it. All right.
Yeah. So now that board op has made his mistake and he knows not to do that again.
Yeah. He'll hit the dumb button from now on.
So the strategy is don't train the producers and then put them with two people who are not radio hosts, right?
Listen, man. We got a fight at the White Sox game. Holy cow. Yeah, Jose Abreu.
Hey, what's the last thing we need heading into the postseason? Oh, yeah. a bunch of suspensions.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
I don't know.
It's pick it up.
You.
Abreu got hit again in the ninth inning, as he's one to do. He always gets hit. Miguel Cairo had some words for the umpire, for the Tigers, and everyone. Tony came out to de-escalate. And then the umpire failed to distinguish the situation, and now we have what we have here.
Who, Tigers and White Sox? Is Robert Fick out there, Tanny?
Get Bobby Higginson out there.
Let's go. These teams, they don't like each other.
Let's go.
I know. I understand. No, you don't want to go. Is Jose ailing? Seems to not be feeling great.
He took first base.
Well, then he started throwing punches, so he seems fine.
It took him so long to get to first base. I thought maybe, did he tip it with the bat and also while getting hit? But he was just so angry. He didn't walk to first base in seemingly forever. It took him forever to get down there.
This was an 8-2 laugher a moment ago and should have had no pitchers of consequence being used. And instead, you've got high-leverage bullpen guys in a fight. Not ideal.
8-7 right now is the score.
So, right. Yeah, I just kind of put the producers out there, and you know they learn.
Sorry for talking to you on the air, Shane, and taking you away
Don't
from the White Sox game.
Just priorities, man.
That's my bad.
Read the room a little bit better.
Yeah, my bad.
What are you watching in there, by the way?
We got the White Sox game.
And football highlights.
Living together. Just gone to commercial so we could have watched the White Sox game. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying? So Abreu slid hard into second.
Didn't like the tag.
Oh, Brian Goodrum's very angry at him for sliding into second base.
It's Nico Goodrum, but Brian Goodwin's on the White Sox. King of the bat flip. Nico Goodrum's on the Tigers. Thanks for playing, though. Next contestant.
Hey. Hand up on that one. Pointing a thumb.
Big baseball guy.
Not a finger.
All right. Well, there were no punches thrown. Everyone's fine. It's no big deal. Just a typical baseball fight. People sprinting in from the bullpen to not do anything.
I hate that baseball's regular season is building to its dramatic crescendo right now while everybody's looking at the NFL here in week 3, week 4.
It's true.
So stupid. It really is. I'm all for shortening the season and having this stuff happen in August. I got to be honest with you.
I agree. It'd be good to have your game wrapping up before football gets into.
Because there's a lot of interesting and exciting things going on.
There are. But back to Bears Monday.
Yeah. I'll do hit and run and into a tin can in my house.
that's good. Something happened. I'm just going to get this positive out of the way.
Oh, yeah. You got a positive.
I got a positive.
Okay.
It was on defense. It was with Jalen Johnson, and Odell Beckham caught, well, I think, what, 5 passes for 70-something yards. It was not a dominant day from him. But everyone seems to be liking Sean Desai. Bears defense has been pretty good.
I saw some stuff yesterday, too. Robert Quinn was alive and well, in part because of the scheming of Sean Desai.
Yeah. So if we are assuming competence with Sean Desai and assuming competence in the Bears defense, and Jalen Johnson has been very, very good through the first couple of games, they did something yesterday that I haven't seen the Bears do in a long, long time. And that is, they had Jalen Johnson trailing Odell Beckham. And you say, well, why does that matter?
So when you say trailing, you don't mean going, like running behind him. You mean going left and right.
I mean, if Odell Beckham lines up outside left, there's Jalen Johnson. Okay. If he lines up outside right, there's Jalen Johnson.
Most teams in Bears history, they've gone side by side. Last year with Fuller and Johnson, one guy was left, one guy was right. That was that.
Yeah, and then you wait for the receiver to run to you. The idea is it helps you and most teams do that the majority of the time. It helps you disguise your coverage a little bit. Harder to get a pre-snap read on whether or not you're playing zone or man if Fuller's always on the left and Jalen Johnson's always on the right, as was the case for the Bears, you know, from the quarterback's vantage point last year. But there are some guys that are so good that even if they are going to play zone, you still want them to be on the side of where the number one guy starts.
Especially if there's a definitive number one, and you're less worried about Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Stephon Gilmore is a trail corner. Jalen Ramsey, Tre'Darius White on the Bills, James Bradbury on the Giants.
Josh Norman when he was rolling.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and back in the day, it was more common. I mean, like, Darrell Revis was everywhere. Like, wherever you were going, right? Deion Sanders would do the same type of thing. Back in the day, it was certainly
but
more common.
You're saying these days in the NFL, there's very few.
It's very, very, very few. If the Bears think that Jalen Johnson is that good, where he would be a net negative for the other team's number one week in and week out, and it's worth giving away a little bit in information of your coverages in order to limit, you know, Justin Jefferson when you play the Vikings, Devontae Adams when you play the Packers. That's top 10 corner in the NFL type stuff. And I don't know if he's that. He looks very, very good.
But, he does.
So all I'm saying is that wrinkle is reserved in the modern NFL for very few and far between guys. And so if that is going to be a thing for Jalen Johnson going forward, and if they're right to make it a thing for him, that is a massive development for the Bears this season in terms of a premium position.
Yeah, if you've found a true number one cover corner.
Yes.
And it'll make you feel a little bit better about Kendall Vildor once again being on the other side.
And it'll make you feel a little bit better about, like, oh, the good young players on the team are guards and running backs and inside linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Jalen, one of them is a cover corner.
Yeah, if one of them's a number one corner, that is a premium tier one position in the game. All of a sudden, you're feeling a little bit better. We can get back to the negative and crushing Matt Nagy.
It's cool.
But that struck me when that was pointed out by the reporters who were there. I was like, oh my, that is rare stuff for all pro top flight dudes at the position.
And, you know, Jalen Johnson again made a play on a ball and almost had another pick on a ball that would have been a very impressive interception. And how about the collaboration between, I'm sorry, I can't even say that word with a straight face anymore, with him and Desai. Olsen pointed out the play on a 4th and 5, or a 4th down. It was when Khalil Mack had the sack on 4th down, where Jalen Johnson lined up as if he was going to take Odell Beckham, but then he handed him off to the safety, and Jalen Johnson instead came up and grabbed Nick Chubb. which totally surprised Mayfield, and that way Mac was able to come unblocked and go get him. That was some good scheming by Desai using Jalen Johnson in a malleable way.
Yeah, the defense looks good. The defense looks like they will be in most games and will be – tell me if you've heard this before, Bears fans. I'm let down by the offense.
Yeah, because they got ground down by that run game, a very effective run game that the Browns have. What were the snap counts? I know the Bears ran 45 snaps on offense.
I remembered that my guy, Jesse James, had one.
Yeah, but overall snaps by the team, like the Browns ran a lot more plays than 45 plays.
Oh, yeah, they ran like 30 more plays or something crazy.
I think they were in like the 70s or maybe even the 80s in full-on offensive plays.
Yeah, I can.
While
I
the Bears ran 45.
78 to 42.
Explain to me how you can have one net positive yard while holding the ball for 20 minutes.
That's amazing.
20 minutes of ball time.
9 sacks will do that, Shane. That's a big thing. Take those yards away.
It was pretty incredible, man.
In terms of fun.
No. Oh, God, fun.
Can we discuss moving forward whether or not I have to watch the games?
Sure. We can discuss that.
Thanks. Pre-show meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, if that should be part of the executive producer of the afternoon show's responsibilities to watch the Bears.
All right, but Danny, what if I tell you I'm not enjoying it?
Yeah, you're not alone,
man.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah. Hey, Terry Bors worked here a decade after he crossed that Rubicon.
All right, so it's doable.
I can count on one hand how many times in my 38 years of life that I have enjoyed a Bears game.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's a bad part
of the
job.
It's miserable.
And one of them was in 2018. You know, remember Santa's sleigh, Bradley Soule?
Oh, yeah.
They won that game 15-6.
That was fun.
I was at that game. Bears-Rams. Yeah, that was fun.
Those are good times.
They haven't been good since.
No.
If you guys really enjoyed Tanny and I, you would not make us watch the game.
I don't make you do anything.
I'm going to tell you what.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch the games. I'm all right with that.
Thank you so much.
Danny and I watch it totally religiously. And seriously, like, I'm praying. I'm on my knees and I'm praying during the game that for anything that's better than that. But no, Tanny, I'll watch. I'll pull out audio highlights. I'm usually listening for that stuff anyway. Live your life, man.
It gives me a reason to go. I'm not the one who said I don't want to watch the games. Dude, I shouldn't have to. I'm not the one saying that. That's what I do.
It was a beautiful day yesterday. I made sure to get outside there about 9:30 in the morning with the Roobster, play some wiffle ball in the park because hashtag baseball season, and get back. Like, you had to get out and enjoy the day yesterday.
I was out there smoking.
You smoked down in him? It's a big rolling paper. How'd you get him in there?
I told him I had a toothy critter there for him. Crawled right in.
There was a VHS copy of Con Air.
No, that's this guy.
That's me.
Whatever. Yeah. You guys are all like dumbass movies.
Yeah, it's losers liking movies and watching sports. My bad.
Dorks.
What a weird industry to get into.
By the way, I'm fine with watching the games because it gives me 3 hours where I am working down here.
Honey, yeah, it's a work day.
I'm working, honey.
Yeah.
I'll watch it, but just know that I'm not liking it.
Okay, what a tremendous sacrifice, Shane. We thank you for your service.
No problem. Happy to help.
Bears calls before Mark Grody. A lot of people seem very, very angry, understandably. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
You know, I pay attention to what people are saying, what coaches are saying, and it's a big job, obviously, especially in Chicago. You're on your second quarterback. But when I hear somebody say, we're going to do what we do, that I bristle at that because I am not a system guy. The system really is terminology. You know, and how you call the plays, how everybody communicates. But the coaching is putting the players in the best position to succeed. So I really expect, I'm hoping the Bears look different today with Justin Fields under center, because if you go out and try to play like you play when Andy Dalton's in there, I don't think it's going to work out really well.
Todd Haley on the Bears pregame show with Pat Manley and the crew. Good stuff with Manley and Mully and Todd Haley there.
Very clear, very prescient pregame stuff about system and Dalton versus Fields from a guy who coached a lot of places. Head coach in KC, obviously, but an OC for what, 5 different NFL teams or 4 different NFL teams? The Browns, the Steelers, the Cardinals, wideouts coach, a bunch of places, has seen offenses get changed to fit quarterbacks in many different NFL cities and was afraid it might not happen here.
And a bit of a crazy person.
Oh, yes. There is that.
A bit of a crazy person, but also very interesting, which makes for a good radio interview. So that's good stuff by the guys in the pregame show. We'll talk to Mark Grody.
Speaking of a bit of a crazy person.
Yeah. It was too easy. Let's take some calls. Let's see how people are feeling. We go to Steve in Wakanda. You're on the score. What up, Steve?
Hi, guys. Long-time texter, first-time caller.
Thank you, Steve.
I got to tell you, I'm nervous. I'm as nervous as Justin Thomas was on the first tee yesterday, boys.
Ryder Cup.
I just want to say, I'm tired.
This is going great.
Coach Nagy getting up there in the post game, and he's a professional coach, and he wants to go back, look at the tape, and figure out the whys. Well, you and I, we do what we do every day. The whys are happening constantly all day. We figure it out. That's our problems. I want to hear the hows. How can we fix it? Putting five blockers down is not a how. You know, they worried about him getting out there and getting hurt. They did nothing yesterday to protect him.
They did it, man. I appreciate the telephone call. He will say that it's not his job to explain the how publicly. What are you saying?
We appreciate the telephone call. I too. Let me tell
Steve,
I too. We both appreciate the telephone call.
Hey, a little story about Steve here. I think he might have been a little winded. Steve was just in a motorcycle accident, he told me. So I felt a little bad.
Oh, that's tough, man.
Broke his clavicle, six ribs, and pierced his spleen.
Why did we put him on then if he was just
because
like,
he had a good point.
Yeah, tell me that before I played drops making fun of the guy. Come on, man.
I mean, like
no,
10...
absolutely
like,
not. I'm setting you up for failure right now.
Like 10 minutes ago, he had a motorcycle accident?
No, like a few days ago.
Oh,
so well, he should have recovered. He's laid up right now. He should have recovered by now.
Should have caught his breath a few days ago.
What was more painful? Experience or the Bears
yeah,
game.
I would have worked that into the call.
Would you rather break your clavicle, six ribs, and split your spleen or watch another Bears
call
game?
Call back, Steve. You go right to the front of the... Sorry, like we Steve. Would have worked that into the call.
I'm a big Stephen Wakanda guy. Yeah. Always have been, always will be.
Always have been.
Long time Stephen Wakanda guy.
And this guy, Christopher Edwin, that keeps popping up on the caller ID, keeps giving me garbage points, and I'm just hanging up on him, but he keeps calling back.
Come on,
this is why
Shane.
I like to keep the phones closed.
No!
Because a guy's like Christopher Edwin.
It's your job! Give us some good ones.
All right, Biff in Lake Geneva, your call is dependent on Shane. We're going to grade Shane based on your call. What's up, Biff?
I'm nervous about a Biff.
All right, I'm just going to share with you that I'm getting along by looking at it as a comedy tragedy in four parts, the Bears. It's like the week before, and then it's like melds into the first half, and then we have intermission, and we're all kind of dealing with how the second half is going to end. And then you have the second half, and then you have the fallout after. And now it's like the sports personification of the movie Stripes with Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. They're Pace and Nagy. And then Phillips is John Larroquette. He's Captain Stillman and who gets shipped off to command the Antarctic.
Hey, can I go get refreshments at halftime, like to the lobby, get some popcorn, some Milk Duds and stuff?
I think you can. Okay. I think and the cracker jack, but there's no prize.
Is Justin Fields the EM50 that's going to save the day?
Look at that. Yes, he's one. Yes, exactly. And then John Candy's in there too. You know, you just think of a whole cast, and you think it really is. It's like it's actually happening. They're driving this RV, and it's just like those guys are in charge. And it's a comedy. It's a tragedy. If you look at it as a joke, it's kind of funny, but the thing is, we kind of like Bears football, and like you know the sergeant, you know the guy that's the
Sergeant Hulka. Sure, no, let's drive Hulka. This analogy right into the ground. Yeah.
That's the history. That's the alumni. That's the Dan Hamptons. That's those guys. They're the defense.
Who's
the
Francis?
I was gonna say, don't call anybody Francis.
There you go. I don't want to go in. No, that's as far as it goes right now, guys.
Oh, that's as far as you'll go. Yeah,
okay.
You draw the line at psycho. Okay. I appreciate it. We appreciate it.
Hey, take care.
Thank
go
you.
Bears.
Yeah, go Bears. Of course.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
I liked his ad lib about the no prize in the Cracker Jack.
Yeah.
He was ready. On point.
All right,
Shane. Good job, Shane.
Good job, Shane.
I'm going for personalities here. I'm not going for good points.
Where's Christopher Edwin? What does he have to say?
He's still hanging on hold there.
Let's bring him on. Yeah. Let's see how bad it could
thank
be.
You.
God.
You're very well steeped in Stripes.
Oh, I can just go very deep in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's
no wonder Mac liked you.
Yeah. But it was funny. If I let him down on one, it was like I can't do any of the
Will Spinks.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Exactly. Exactly. Stripes, go deep. Caddyshack, go deep. Uh-huh. Slapshot, I'm like, it didn't really speak to me.
God darn it.
He's like, this kid, the youth of today.
No appreciation for the classics.
Yeah, I'm like, are we kidding? We go so deep on so many of these movies.
Oh. Lighten up, Francis.
Hey. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Do we have time for one more? Yay.
No.
Yes. No.
Totally.
No.
And our second half's about to begin.
Yes. Very exciting. One runner on. Are you predicting a fight at the end of this White Sox game?
Yeah, it's just bad sometimes feelings. Baseball games have a momentum of their own, and this one seems like it could get nasty here. No matter who wins this game, there's fist pumping going on after the rhubarb, and Liam Hendricks is not going to make things any better. He's going to be jacked up out there.
All right, so we'll monitor any craziness that might happen.
Oh, there it is.
Here we go, Jim. Liam is screaming. He is barking. He's giving the full Australian tarot card bloom of his personality.
I'm like the Steve Stone of predicting fights.
No one's fighting. They're just yelling at each other.
Oh, yeah. It's coming.
He's yelling in the direction of the Tigers' dugout, though, 100%.
Respectfully, though.
Seriously.
Brutal strike calls that were both clearly balls as called strikes.
Somewhere Amir Garrett is pissed right now. He's going to be running out there.
We'll talk to Mark Grody about what the hell's going on at Halas Hall next on The Score.